We ordered 10 more books. Five of them have already sold. So if you would like a book, we have five more available. So see Melanie. Is there anybody who wants one like right now? Because Melanie can go get it for you. It's anybody? Okay. All right. Rick, did you have your hand up? No.
They do it
and they are 3 hours long.
Are they?
No.
Oh, is it an after church thing?
It's an after church thing, and you go, and then tons of.
Oh. It may be. I don't know, but I don't see how you could cover a chapter.
Well, you said something about 3 hours. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's one of those classes.
It could be. I don't know. I don't know. I know it's a specific class that they do. I just don't know. I need to find out. What? How much time they allot for it? But
after church on Sunday
morning. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. we are. Well, I don't know in your book. we're page 11 in my book.
Page three.
Okay, page three. We're going to pick up where we left off. Before we do that, I kind of want to just. Two main takeaways from last week that I came away with. The first one is that we were not created to experience grief. God did not create us that way. Okay, so that was the first takeaway that I had. The second takeaway is that He did create us to be social beings. So when we lose a person in our life, or we have a severed relationship, or we have a major medical event in our life that caused grief, there's plenty of reason for that, okay? So last week we started, we talked about the good creation that God created. So tonight we're going to pick up with the bad fall, or last week my dyslexia kicked in and it was the big fall. It's the big bad fall, okay? So if God created the world to not have suffering, pain, and death, where did it come from? The fall, okay? It should be kind of obvious to us. But if we understand in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 basically covers the fall. Satan does what to Eve? What does Satan do to Eve? Okay, he tempts her, or he deceives her, okay? What does Adam do? Now this is really, really important. What does Adam do?
Nothing.
No, he does something.
He doesn't stand up.
Okay, he doesn't stand up, right. But Adam does something that is incredibly significant.
No.
Huh? I didn't hear you. Okay, he ate the fruit with her. What is the difference? So both of the, Adam and Eve both eat the forbidden fruit, okay? And by the way, they were not apples. Okay, just saying. it was probably broccoli, but or no, my wife would say Brussels sprouts, you know. But they both ate the fruit. But what was the difference?
She was deceived.
Okay, she was deceived. Adam chose. This is important. Adam chose. Now, theologically, there's arguments why he chose to eat the fruit. But the reality is this. Where does sin come from?
Through Adam.
Okay? Sin does not come through the wife. It comes through the man. Okay? That is how, and this is not in the notes, but this is a little side note here. That's how Jesus could be born sinless. Because sin is transferred through the father, not the mother. Okay? So, Adam chose to eat the fruit. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, and when the woman saw the tree was good for fruit, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. So this moment, the fall, plunged the human race into suffering. So prior to this event, everything was hunky-dory. God and Adam and Eve walked the earth, they had fellowship, and they were doing what they were created to do. Okay, important. The Bible is clear here that it introduced the introduction of sin introduces what? Death. And most grief that we experience in our life is a result of what? Death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So who was the one man?
Adam.
Okay. So once Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, it plunged the human race into sin. Each bit of grief that you and I experience can be traced back to the fall. Okay? Every bit of grief. Grief you feel today is one of the lasting ripples on the pond, if you would. You know, there's no such thing as us sinning in a vacuum. Okay? If we sin, it will always affect others. And we've talked about this before, and we call it ripples on the pond, okay? It always affects others, okay? So we today, living in these sinful bodies, are living in sin because of what Adam and Eve did. We are now born sinners. Okay? We are now born into sin. They chose sin. We're born into it. The Bible tells us that there is payment for our sin separation from God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. And let's just go to the next point. A real rescue. So a good creation, a big bad fall, and a real rescue. So Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived 30 plus years here on earth, a sinless life, and gave himself on the cross for your sins and for mine, to pay the price. It does not do away with the sin. Okay, we are still sinful people. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Our penalty was death, but Jesus is our substitution, our propitiation, if you would, our scapegoat, our advocate with the Father. Jesus was buried 3 days later, rose from the grave, and now he offers salvation to everyone who will receive. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, now, question. What does all of that have to do with grief? Anybody? Okay, it's kind of where it comes from, but it has everything to do with grief. It has everything to do with it. Because we were not created to be sinful creatures, we were created to walk and have fellowship with God. But because of Adam and Eve's sin, the human race was plunged into sin, and now we have to deal with this thing called grief. Right. And for starters, it gives us a framework of understanding where grief comes from. Okay? A lot of people that, my experience is that when you find yourself asking the question, is this normal? Grief, okay, the question, we're talking about grief here. So when we ask ourselves, is this normal for me to be feeling the way I feel, what is the answer? No, no, it's not normal. We were not built to feel grief. Okay, now grief, everybody said yes, because grief is a part of our lives, but it's not, it should not be normal to us. Does that make sense? That's why we struggle with it so much. If it were normal, we wouldn't struggle with it, but it should not be normal. It's like a weight that weighs us down, does it not? When when we are in the midst of grief, do we have trouble thinking about other things? Yeah. Absolutely we do. Why? Because the grief is weighing us down. The reality is this, and this is where we start turning things around here in the book, is this is where we start to realize that we need God to help us get through grief. But seeing the gospel, the framework of the gospel, and the act, how it interacts in our lives, that God, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, Jesus came to this earth, he died for you and for me, not to make us superhuman and take away our sins. Let me rephrase that. He forgives us of our sins, but he cannot take away our sins. Does that make sense? I mean, how am I wanting to say this? We're still going to sin.
We still have a sin.
Right, we still have the sin. That's okay. Thank you. He cannot take away the sin nature. Okay? He can take away the sin, but he cannot take away the nature for us. And we are going to continue. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody recently about that very thing, and I struggle with sin. I hope you do too. Because that sounded horrible, didn't it? I met somebody one time years and years and years ago that tried to convince me that they had reached a point of utopia in their life, or whatever they called it, and they didn't sin anymore. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, man, I'm in big trouble. But they claimed, yeah, I don't sin anymore. Okay, all right. Yeah. So Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with what?
Grief.
Acquainted with grief. And please get this. Write these three short sentences in your book here. Number one, he understands, period. He understands. Yeah, he understands. Or Jesus understands. Any way you want to do it. He understands. The second two-word sentence is he cares. And then this next sentence is a little longer. It's got three words. Can you handle this, Bob? Okay. He can help. He understands, he cares, and he can help. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the infirmity, the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what? Sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The most glorious part of the gospel in grief is that the reality is Christ understands us. He cares. And he's there to help. He has conquered death for you and for me. This is obviously not in the notes, but it was just a thought just popped into my head. How long ago was COVID? What, 6 years ago? Five, 6 years ago? Many of you remember Lori Swank. Lori Swank was quite the character. Just put it that way. And Lori, she got really, really sick with COVID, and she died during COVID. And, huh?
6 years next month.
6 years next month, okay. When I went to see her in the hospital, she was dying, and at the time that I was there, they didn't know how much longer she was going to live. And I walked into the room, and you know, because of COVID and everything, I had to put on the gown and do all the, you know, protective stuff and all that. And as I was doing all that, she was trying to say something, but she had an oxygen thing on her, and I couldn't hear her. And I finally said, I'm sorry, Lori, what did you say? And she took the mask off, and she says, ha, 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 I win. I get to see Jesus before you do. And my smart aleck response was, hey, the day is not over yet. But my point is this, she didn't die. Her body may have died. But she the next day, I was on my way to the hospital. I wasn't quite there yet, but Melanie and Cassie, okay, Melanie and Cassie were in the room when she took her last breath. And she took her last breath here on earth, but she took her first breath in heaven at the same time. Now, did we grieve her loss? Absolutely we did. Why? Because we We had that severed relationship. But if we could bring her back, do you think she'd be happy with us?
No,
absolutely not.
I just thought so. Can you imagine Lazarus?
Oh.
And it's been 3 days with Jesus, with the Lord. He had everything set up, and I was like, oh, sorry, son, I'm going to send
you
back.
Yeah, hey, Peter walks up to him and says, hey, I got some bad news for you, dude. You're going back. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. I'll tell you what, let somebody read this. You're probably tired of my reading. Who wants to read this passage? All right, go ahead.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so God never intended for mankind to experience grief. That was never the plan. But because of sin, it has become part of our lives. Nonetheless, grief does not have to dominate our lives. And that's where God comes in. He wants to help us grow through our grief. The grace of God proved through death and the resurrection of Christ that we can have real hope and sustained hope. It is so important. So, now we're going to go back to the Mary and Martha story. We started with the Mary and Martha story, then we took a sidetrack. So now, number two here, we saw, number one, we saw grief is disruptive. Number two, growth is possible. Growth is possible. And this is really, man, I can't even begin to emphasize this enough. Jesus' triumph through the resurrection. Let's stop here for a second. Let's kind of go back to the story of Mary and Martha. Those of you that know the story of Mary and Martha, I don't want to use chastises because he really doesn't chastise her, but when he's talking to the sisters, he makes a statement, hey, haven't I told you about the resurrection? And that we're all going to live in heaven one day? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But he does this, and is it possible to prevent grief in our lives? Is it possible? Okay, the answer to that is no. Okay, so how then do we start to grow through this process? God provides hope and purpose through pain. Now, let me say this again, and then I'm going to read something to you that hopefully will explain what I just said. God provides hope and purpose through pain. That sounds like a crazy statement, does it not? But let me read this. Psychiatrists, plural, have observed that pain can be measured not only by intensity and duration, but also by perceived meanings. And the meaning actually influences our response to pain as much as or more than the other two factors. Okay, let me explain. It goes on. Let's illustrate it to you this way. Consider how different you would categorize the pain you might feel if you randomly pick up a hammer and smash your finger versus if your finger was amputated to stop the spread of cancer to the rest of your body. Both experiences hurt, right? And the second would arguably hurt even more than the first. But because there is meaning for the pain from the surgery saving your life, you perceive it differently than if you would randomly smash your finger with a hammer. Do you understand what they're saying here? The way we perceive pain can either cause pain to be worse or less by the way we perceive it. I had never thought of it until I read this. Similarly, our grief becomes more bearable when we recognize that even though we cannot fully see God's purpose, God's purposes are there. And they are always good. So, the author here is saying this. Grief is going to be part of our lives, and the way we perceive it is going to dictate how much pain is involved in our grief. If we can perceive that God is the one in control of life, then it will alter how we react to the pain. Does that make sense? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, the truth is that we cannot fully understand God's purpose in pain. We cannot. We never will. And He doesn't always explain pain in our lives, grief. But God assures us that He is always there working in our lives. He will be there to comfort us, to guide us, and to grow us through our pain. A life did feel dark for Mary and Martha, did it not? In the story, Mary and Martha, they lose their brother. Were they in a dark place, we would say today? Wouldn't that be a fair statement, that they were in a dark place?
Absolutely.
Even Jesus Himself grieved at the passing of His dear friend. But notice the tenderness of Jesus when He talks to Mary and Martha, or specifically to Martha, after her brother died. In John chapter 11, verses 21 to 27. Who would like to read that passage? Come on. Okay, Sean.
11, 21 through 27?
Yes. He doesn't have a book. He's just using his Bible. He's trying to find it. Okay, I'll read it. All right. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Pretty harsh. Okay, her response kind of gives you a reflection into what is going on in her heart, right? Okay. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which shall come into the world. So here Jesus has this interaction with Martha, and he doesn't chew her out for having a lack of faith or, you know, anything like that. What does he do? He reassures her of the life everlasting life. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Your next blank here. God has a sovereign plan. God has a sovereign plan. Even though Jesus was going to raise Jesus from the dead, he allowed his friends, Mary and Martha, to go through, or at least start, the grieving process, did he not? Now, I'm going to say something here, and this is really important for us to get a hold of. The purpose of why Jesus delayed his visit was far greater than the grief that the ladies were feeling. Does that make sense? Why? Because God, or Jesus, was getting ready to do something really big. And he was trying to teach them some really, really important things. Because what had they done? They were focusing on themselves. They were focusing on what they had lost instead of focusing on their faith. And they had to start the grieving process. In John chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, it says, Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So he loved all three of them. He loved all three of them. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place as he was. So, if we were to read the story for the first time, verse 6 would come back as a little bit of a shock, would it not? You know, you think, man, why would he do that? Why would he allow Lazarus to die? Because he had a greater purpose to teach. And there has to be times in our lives where we grieve over things that we do not understand, and we ask God, why? Why is this happening? Why do I have to cross this bridge? In actuality, both Martha and Mary at separate times told Jesus that he had been, if he had been present, Lazarus would not have died. Now, is that true? Probably. Jesus could have healed him and he wouldn't have died. We don't know that, but that's the assumption. John chapter 11, verse 21 and 32. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. And verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, thy brother had not died. My brother had not died. But God had a bigger picture in mind. It's hard for us in the midst of grief to understand, well, to remind ourselves that God has a bigger plan. I can tell you from personal experience, when my dad died 4 years ago, we knew it was coming. He was sick and all that. But when my mom died, Melanie and I asked why. We didn't understand. It was a completely different level of grief, I guess you would say. I don't know how else to say it. It was just different. And we didn't understand God's plan. And one of the things that we had to tell ourselves and we had to convince ourselves of is that we don't have to understand God's plan. We just have to understand that He's got a plan. And we need to surrender to that. Jesus was going to prove His deity by raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus waits, He delays His trip, but He not only delays the trip, but He delays His trip for so long that not only people wouldn't be able to say, oh, well, He wasn't really dead, He was only really, really sick. No. How long did He delay? Until He stunk. Okay? Corruption was setting in. So, Jesus was, well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And please get this. God's promises here that He will work in all things. All things. Not just the good things, but in all things, including your grief. We cannot know, and we cannot even imagine God's purpose in all things in our lives. We cannot even begin to imagine the purpose of grief in our lives. We tend to think, why? But there's a purpose. And that purpose simply is this. He wants to conform you into His image. Many years ago, the author is writing a story here. It says, many years ago, I was walking through an old cemetery in Fontana, California, reading the faded inscriptions on the gravestones, most over a century old. One that caught my eye was short. And this is what it said. We cannot, Lord, Thy purpose see, but all is well that is done for Thee. He said, as I looked down on the dates on the stone, I saw that the grave was a four-day-year-old baby. Four days old. What did I say? Well, 4 days, four-day-old baby. He said, I thought about the grief they must have felt as they prepared to bury their little girl. And seeing the testimony of their faith strengthened me. He said this, he goes on, I remember those lines many times in many seasons of trials. We cannot always see God's purpose, but we can know that He has good and wise purpose, and we can trust He will mend our broken hearts. I remember that I read this and I my mind went back. One day I was out in the desert Aurora. Any of you ever been up to Aurora? It's an old mining camp up in the, and the only thing that's left of Aurora that I could find is a cemetery. And as I walked through the cemetery, I recognized the very same thing that he said. Many of the stones were just small children. And as I stood, I felt a lot of the same emotion that he did. And I thought, man, can you imagine the parents of these small children laying their babies here? The grief that they had to have experienced. Your next blank here. God allows us to grieve. Please get a hold of this. God allows us to grieve. Sometimes Christians who know God's promises to bring good through grief assume that to feel sorrow means that they are not trusting God. Now, let me reread this statement here, okay? Because this is powerful. Sometimes Christians who know God's promises to bring good through grief assume that to feel sorrow means that they're somehow not trusting God. That's not true. He allows us to grieve. In fact, let me say this. Grieving is a good thing. It's a good thing. Nothing can be further from the truth. We, as we have already seen, Jesus wept over the grave of Lazarus. Throughout the Psalms, we see many expressions of grief throughout the Psalms. An example is in Psalm 77, verses 1, 2, and 4. It says, I cry unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave me ear, he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Have you ever been there? So broken, so troubled over grief that you can't even talk? I know when Melanie and I were dealing with my mom's death, there were several times that we were trying to communicate to each other some of our emotions and we were having trouble talking. We just couldn't even put it into words. We didn't even know how to do it. The book of Lamentations here, gives us a look into what grief looks like. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 32. But though he caused grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. So not only does God allow grief, but he also gives us the multitude of mercies. Multitude of mercies. Grief may subside, but there is some grief that never fully subsides this side of heaven. I want to read you another excerpt from the book here. Biblical counselor Ed Welch relayed a conversation with a dear friend whose son had died about 12 years prior. They described how there was a season after their death when they cried all the time. They said all they did was sleep and cry. But as the Lord brought healing in their grief, they found they could sometimes smile through their tears as they remembered their son, or as they spoke to others about him. And by the time of this conversation, 12 years later, they said that they mostly smiled as they thought about their son, but still sometimes cried. Their grief was still there, but it was calmed, quieted, and changed over the years. Grief is always going to be a part of our lives. Grief is part of the journey of life, if you would. All of us are going to experience grief periodically. Some grief is going to hurt more than others. When God allows grief, we heal the most completely and healthfully when we are willing to go through the process with Him. It is so important that we go through the process with Him. Your next blank here. God is faithful to the grieving. He's faithful to the grieving. When Jesus arrived in Bethany, the hometown of Mary and Martha, he didn't distance himself from the grieving family, did he not? What did he do? He went right to them and tried to comfort them in their time of grieving. He went to the grave with them. He was present with them. Now let me say this. When you're not the one grieving and you know someone who is, sometimes the best thing to do is just be there. Again, I'm going back to my chaplain thing. I have been on a lot of really, really bad chaplain calls through the years. And things that I can't even talk about, but really, really bad things. And in those times, what do you say? I don't know if you can help me, tell me. A lot of times I'm just there. And if they want to cry, there's a shoulder here to cry on. If they want to talk, I can say this. I went to a call one day. 12-year-old boy had lost his dad. His mom was just beside herself. He had a little brother that was young enough. He kind of didn't really understand what was going on. But the 12-year-old boy was just totally beside himself. And the deputies called me out, and I, whenever I get to a scene like this, I always say, okay, what do you need from me? And the deputy looked at me, he said, go talk to the boy. I said, where is he? He's in his bedroom. So I went, and I went into this boy's bedroom, and I didn't say a word. I just sat there in his bed. And this boy was just crying and crying and crying. And he said something to me that just really shook me to my core. And this is what he said. He said, is your dad still alive? And at the time, my dad was still alive. He was sick, but he was still alive. I said, yeah, my dad's still alive. He said, you can talk to your dad. I can't talk to my dad anymore. I said, man, I am so sorry, buddy. I mean, what do you say? There are times we just need to be there. And that is the God that we serve. He is always going to be there for us when we need a shoulder to cry on. When we need somebody to talk to. Now, I'm going to stop here and remind you that you have homework to do. Okay? You've got 5 days of homework. Okay? I want you to do the homework. Okay? It's not hard. It's only going to take you a few minutes a day. 5 days. Do the homework. And then there's also, I think they call it group discussion. So we're going to do the group discussion and the homework. So we should be able to get done with chapter one next week. Okay, that at least that's the goal. All right. Any questions before we close in prayer?